Markets around the world rise despite violent protests in Washington. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Vishala Sripathma in for Victoria Craig. Good morning. European markets continued to rise in early trading as most of Asia finished in the green. Investors appearing to shrug off the extraordinary events that took place on Capitol Hill yesterday. The reason for optimism, however, is that the Democrats now have control of the Senate and the House, enabling President-elect Joe Biden to push through a stimulus package with much more ease. Michael Hewson is chief market analyst at CMC Markets. He says the market sentiment is one of resilience at the moment.
It does, I think, really underscore the feeling that's really been the case for several months and several years now, that investors are much more concerned about the prospects for monetary and fiscal stimulus than they are about short-term political uncertainty. And I think these events really underscore that, the fact that financial markets are fairly resilient, a little bit softer in early trading, but that's not surprising given the gains that we've seen this week. And I think the focus very much remains on the 20th of January, the Biden inauguration, and essentially the economic data and the fiscal and monetary support that is likely to be coming down the line over the course of the next 3 to 6 months.
And that victory in Georgia for the Democrats mean that stimulus package perhaps is a bit more certain, and that's why investors are still quite happy.
Absolutely. It really does shift the dial much more towards the Democrats being able to implement some of the more expansive policies that they had in their manifesto of Build Back Better, Green New Deal, that sort of thing. That's why you've seen a significant rebound in US renewables, particularly solar-based stocks, which have had a very, very good run over the course of the last 12 months already.
Michael Hewson, Chief Market Analyst at CMC Markets, thank you very much.
Thank you very much indeed, Vishala.
Meanwhile, President Trump has been suspended temporarily from Twitter and Facebook after tweeting to supporters who attacked the US Capitol. In a social media messages to protesters, he said, "I love you," before telling them to go home. He also repeated false claims about election fraud. Twitter said it required the removal of 3 tweets. Failure to do so would mean the president's account would remain locked for good. Joe Tidy is the BBC's cyber reporter. I asked whether the social media platforms are consistent with their approach.
No, I don't think it is something they're consistent with. It's certainly the first time we've seen them take this action against the president or anyone with such a high profile as him. It's something that people have been calling for a long time. When he tweeted saying, "When the looting starts, the shooting starts," back during the Black Lives Matter protests, a lot of people thought that went against Twitter's policies and violated the rules on severe violations of civic integrity policy, they call it. But instead, they just reduced the shareability of that post and labeled it as well. And we have seen a ramping up in the last few months of increased labeling, increased actions where they reduce the chances of retweeting or comment or sharing. But this is the first time we've seen them take the action of not only deleting tweets, but also at the same time giving him a ban as well. And it follows what Facebook did. Of course, Facebook were the first to take down this video that was put up yesterday by the president, which some said, including Facebook, that instead of trying to diminish the risk of violence, it actually contributed to the risk of violence during the protests and demonstrations and riots yesterday.
Now, the march was partly organised online, including on Facebook groups and pages. How much does social media play in terms of a role of basically bringing these people together and facilitating their movement?
Well, I saw some commentary this morning from somebody who said that this incident yesterday could only have come about through social media, and that's bringing people together, allowing these comments and posts and videos to be shared widely, to be retweeted, to be commented on, to go viral, allowing the groups on Facebook, for example, the Stop the Spread groups, to fester some of these feelings of unfounded claims that the election was stolen, and to effectively organise themselves to do this sort of activity.
And of course, it doesn't just happen in Washington, it happens all around the world. And perhaps in some countries, it's a bit harder to detect because it's not always in English that these groups are communicating in.
Yeah, and all the social networks, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, they all have moderators working in all the various different languages that they operate in. And there have been problems in the past where some of the networks, I think it was YouTube, was accused of missing out on some offensive or racist or inciting violence posts because the language barriers and they didn't have enough people speaking the languages meant that they didn't pick it up.
The BBC's Joe Tidy, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Japanese government is to announce a new state of emergency for Tokyo and its surrounding areas to combat record levels of COVID-19 infections. Here's the BBC's Will Leonardo with more.
For the next month, residents of the Greater Tokyo area, the world's largest metropolis, will be urged to stay home after 8pm. Bars and restaurants will be asked to close early and homeworking will be encouraged. But as under the first nationwide emergency declaration last April, the measures won't be legally enforced. Instead, subsidies will likely be offered to businesses that comply and officials may name and shame those who don't. Japan, with the lowest COVID death rate among G7 countries, has managed to avoid the strict lockdowns of Europe and America. But Tokyo's leaders have been calling for a reluctant national government to take more action as cases surge.
Will Leonardo there. And we'll be following events closely on Marketplace throughout the day. Check us out online on marketplace.org. In London, I'm Vishala Sripathma with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.